Take your Bibles, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. After we read this passage responsively together, I'll pray. When I'm done praying, I've asked Brother Stoltz to sing the song again tonight that he sang this morning. Sorry, Brother Barnes. I did ask Brother Stoltz. I forgot to ask Brother Barnes. Oops. But he sang a song I mentioned this morning, and Brother Stoltz did not know this. But I'm preaching on heaven tonight. I titled this "A Real Place Called Heaven," or "Proofs That There Is a Real Place Called Heaven." The song he sang this morning just thrilled my heart. I want you to hear it again. All right, John chapter 14, let's read verses 1 through 6 together. Let's read it responsively. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Help us as we talk about heaven tonight. Lord, I'm excited about someday being there. I'm excited about those that are already there, and I'm excited about those that aren't headed there, knowing how they can know how to get there. I pray that you just bless our church tonight. Take us to a new level in our spiritual thinking, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know, but most people really don't understand much about heaven. Can I tell you something? Heaven's a real place. It's not sitting in the clouds, floating on a cloud, sprinkling spoofoo dust, saying holy, holy, holy for eternity. I want you to understand, heaven's just as real of a place as earth is. It is a real place. Far too many people think of heaven as an ethereal thought and a spiritual vacuum where people just float around doing nothing, and that's not what it is. Most of you have never been to a place called Cebu Island in the Philippines, but it's still there. You may have never been there, but it's there. You've not been to heaven, but may I say this? It's a real place, and it's there. It is a real place, and it's there. Just because you haven't been there doesn't mean it's not real. Every week of my life, I believe, I hear about death. I'm not talking about in the news or reading it in an obituary somewhere. Just about every week of my life, I get news of somebody that I know that has passed away. Just yesterday or the day before yesterday, I got a text from somebody, a preacher, an old preacher friend of mine, Brother Charlie Hand, went to heaven. Last week, Mrs. Loretta Wells' mama passing away. The week before, and I did that funeral. The week before that, a man that got saved here in town and was a member in a church, and I've known Rick for years, and that word came to me, and I did his funeral. And it's like that virtually every week of my life. I know there's not that many weeks in a year. You can count on one hand that I don't get word of somebody I know who has not passed away. Just a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine up in Maine that I've preached for has a man in his church who's a World War II veteran, 90 some years old, and he passed away. Had to do the funeral, and I've preached there, and I knew the man. And I could go on and on. Virtually every week of my life, I hear about someone who has died. Now, can I start by saying this? I want to assure you, death and dying is very overrated. It's not so bad. Now, I don't want to be the next candidate. But I'm not afraid of it. I'm really not. Now, don't worry. I'm not Jim Jones, and we're not serving Kool-Aid. So don't get the wrong idea here. But may I say this? So many people are afraid of dying because they don't know where they're going when they take their last breath. Can I tell you something? I know where I'm going. Amen. I'm not afraid of the last breath. As my wife will know this name, but Miss Wilson was a dear old black lady in a nursing home that I used to preach in often in Ashley Shores, just West Ashley in the Charleston, South Carolina area. Miss Wilson was in her late 90s, and I'm thinking she was 97, 98 the last time I was there. And oh my soul, this church in Charleston, the church where the guy went in and shooting people up, she was a member of that church, and she was a member of the senior choir over 70 years. I mean, she sang in the adult choir for over 70 years. You talk about a godly lady. I told my wife, there's not many places I go in. I go in to help people, and you'd go in to help this lady. You'd walk out helped. It was the kind of lady she was. And I'd get in there. Miss Wilson, she couldn't get out of bed, and she'd sit there and she'd sing with you. We'd sing What a Day That Would Be, and she was, oh, and she would just raise her hands, and I'm telling you what, we'd soar to the heavens. I can't sing. She could, but she loved to hear me sing. She was half deaf, and but it was just amazing. Miss Wilson, she used to, and please, you have to understand, this is not a bad thing or a racial thing, but she used to call me her white preacher. Okay? She was the old black Southern, and she said, oh, the white preacher's here today. She said, and I said, Miss Wilson, would you pray for me? She said, that's my daily occupation. All I can do is pray. And boy, she'd pray, oh, my soul. And when I went there, I took my wife and my daughter, my wife and my two boys. My daughter hadn't been born yet. And I've got pictures of her holding Jeff, laying in the bed with Jeff in one arm and Josh sitting on the other side. And I got a cassette tape, that tells you how long ago it was, of her singing and me talking to her. And let me tell you, what a sweet thing. She'd say, oh, I'm not afraid of heaven. Oh, I can't wait to get there. And she'd talk about people that she knew there. She'd talk about heaven like she was looking into it a little bit. Y'all know what I'm talking about? She said, I just want to make it to where I'm 100 years old before I get there. I found out about a year after we moved, I knew the man that was preaching that nursing home. He called me and said, Brother Bush, Miss Wilson just went to heaven. I said, well, she wanted to wait till she was 100. He said, no. She said, you said something to her before you left, and she wanted me to let you know, number one, she was going to give Jesus a hug for you. She said, number two, she decided she didn't want to wait any longer. She was ready to go. And I thought, bless her heart. Thank God for a place called heaven. Miss Wilson's running up and down them streets tonight. Let me tell you, Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 14. Now, he was speaking them to his disciples because they were upset. John chapter 13, he had been telling them about the fact that he was going to be killed and crucified for us. They just found out Jesus was letting them know how he was going to die and how miserable it was going to be, but that it was going to be okay. Can you imagine your best friend telling you he's about to die, about to be killed? It would have you a little bit upset. It would get you a little, maybe a little turned a little bit. He was also telling them how he's going to be betrayed by one of them. Imagine a group of 12 men around Jesus, and one of them was going to betray him. And by the way, they were all surprised that it was Judas Iscariot, just so you know. They did not know who it would be. If you notice in the scriptures, they were all saying, Lord, is it I? Is it I? They really didn't know who it was going to be. And he felt they needed comfort, and he began comforting them by telling them about a place called heaven. By the way, Hey, how do you know it was a place? Because he had already been there. He'd been there for eternity past. He wasn't telling about something he had not known. He left there to came here. He'd already been there. That was his home origin, so to speak, and he knew about heaven. Now, I want you to notice twice here in John chapter 14, look at verse number 2, at the end of the verse. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you. Wow. Twice Jesus uses that word place. Now, the word place literally means space for something to occupy. It means, it literally, if you look at it, and I'm not asking you to get carried away here, I've researched it. The word space there, or place there, literally means like the scabbard for a sword. That means the scabbard is that thing that holds the sword, you know, the leather thing, so when you wear it on your leg, it don't cut your leg up every time you move. But it's made for that specific knife or sword. And that is a place you would put your sword. That is what the word heaven, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. It means like a chair at a table. I imagine if we went to your home and sat down at your kitchen table or your dining room table, everybody has their place. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And boy, when you're rearing kids, don't get the wrong kid in the wrong place. You know, dad sits here, mom sits there, and the kids sit in a certain place, and everybody has their place. It's like recently we went to Kentucky and we checked into a hotel, and I think we were in room 214. Well, 214 was the place reserved for us. I had made those reservations, got there. I didn't get the key at the front desk, and they say, okay, it'll open any door. Just go into any room you want. No, there was a reserved place. Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. It's something solid, something that occupies space. It will fill it up. Tonight, I want to show you many, many, many proofs in reference to heaven being a real place. Now, you're going to have to listen fast. I have 20 minutes, and I have 9 points, so we're going to fly. I'm going to talk like a northerner for a little while. You ready? Number one, heaven is in a direction. Proof that heaven is a real place, it is a place that has direction. I want you to notice several different places. In the book of 1 Kings, the Bible talks about Elijah went up into heaven. A whirlwind came, chariot of fire separated them, and he went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We're close to that. Why don't you take your Bible, turn over just a couple pages to Acts chapter 1, and I'll show you something here. Acts chapter 1, Jesus was going back to heaven 40 days after the resurrection. And look at verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken where? Up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven, which is up, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I want you to notice there's a direction to get there. It's up. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. We won't take time to turn there, but Stephen was being killed, being martyred. People were throwing giant stones at him, killing him as they were pelting him with rocks. And the Bible says that he fell on his knees as they were continuing to stone him, and he looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Notice, it is a direction, it's up. 2 Corinthians 12:2 talks about Paul being caught up into the third heaven. Heaven is a place of direction because it's up. It is in the northern part of the universe. Psalm 75, 6 through 7, said, and again, I'm not going to take time to turn there, but it talks about that our salvation, our promotion doesn't come from the east, it doesn't come from the west, and it doesn't come from the south. Notice the north is not mentioned because it does come from the north, comes from heaven, which is in the north. Now, just like we would say, we're going to go up to Hagerstown. Ladies, you go up to Hagerstown, you go down to Winchester. People in West Virginia go down to Hagerstown and up to Winchester. They got it backwards, amen? But you go up to go to Hagerstown because that's north. You're going up in a northerly direction. Heaven is a real place. You go up to get there. No matter where you at, you go up to get there. It's what we would call in the northern part of space. Astrologers or astro people will tell you, scientists will tell you that study the stars. In the north part of our universe, there is a gap where there are no stars. It's dark. But every once in a while, they see a little speck of light that'll flicker there. They don't know what it is, but they see a little light that'll flash. Say, what is that? I believe heaven is just as real of a planet as Earth is. I believe it is a real place that you cannot see right now, but one day we will. But it is a real place. You say, why? The consistency of God's creation proves that. Now, hang on for a second. Say, what's that flash of light? I don't know. Might be somebody going to heaven and God opened the gate and you got a glimpse of the light of heaven. I have no idea. I've heard that said. You say, do you believe that? I don't know what to believe. I just know this. God said that heaven has direction because it's up. Every time he talks about it, it's up. And that means in the north, by the way, God lives in the north. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that out there. that was pretty good. So I got to hurry. So number one, heaven has a direction, which is up. Number two, heaven has a certain size. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 16 says that heaven, the holy city, is 12,000 furlongs by 12,000 furlongs by 12,000 furlongs. Now, a furlong is an eighth of a mile. That means this, the holy city of heaven is about 1,500 miles square. It is virtually about half the size of the United States of America, one part of heaven. Now, I've heard a lot of things about this. I've heard, well, it's like a cube. Have you ever seen a planet that was built in a cube? God's natural direction of creation would be that it would be a sphere. That would allow you to have something that is 1,500 miles in direction in all directions. Do you know that the Earth is about 23,900 and some miles in all directions? Basically 24,000 miles around. Anywhere you go, it's 24,000 miles all the way around. Can I tell you something? That would allow for heaven to be a sphere as well, and it would be consistent with creation. It has a specific size. It's not sitting in the clouds in nothingness, floating around going, all right? It has a specific size. Number three, it has a wall. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. We'll spend a little bit of time there. I'm going to read a few verses as we go along here, but Revelation chapter 21, oh my soul. Look at verse number 16. I'll catch you up. A city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. That 12,000 furlongs is about 1,500 miles. Look at verse number 17. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Now look at me. Heaven has a wall that goes all the way around it. That city has a wall that goes all the way around it, and it's 144 cubits high. A cubit is virtually the distance between a man's elbow and the tip of his middle finger. Generally accepted, it's about 18 inches. An average man, if you measure from here to here, is 18 inches. It might be 17 and 3 quarters or 17 and a half if you're short. Might be 18 and a quarter to 18 and a half if you're a tall man or long-armed man. But it's virtually right at 18 inches. That means this wall is 216 feet high all the way around the holy city. That's a high wall. That's like a 22-story building. That's like about, City Hospital's what, 8 floors? That's about 3 city hospitals built on top of each other. I'm sorry, it's not City Hospital anymore. What do they call that now? What is it? University Hospital, that's it. University Healthcare Hospital. Whew, sorry. I've been around too long. It's still City Hospital to me. but that's about like 3 of those buildings on top of each other is the height of the wall that goes all the way around heaven. Can I tell you something? You don't put a wall in the sky. What's it going to sit on? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like seeing an elephant fly. Don't want to be around if it does. Been around with the birds at Fred and Wally's, and they did other things, and I don't want to be around if there's an elephant that can fly. Amen? And verse 18 says, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper." Wow. That wall is made out of jasper. I looked up jasper. Jasper is a brown, almost a quartz-like type rock, but it is a very precious stone. It's a jewel. And it's a very beautiful. You'll get to see that in heaven someday. Then, I got to hurry here. Number 4, it has 12 gates and it has streets. I want you to notice Revelation chapter 21. Look back at verse number 12. "And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates, 12 angels in name, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Now, notice something. There are 12 gates to that city in heaven. Now, look down at verse number 21. "And the 12 gates, which were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were a transparent glass." I want you to notice something. Each one of those 12 gates in a wall that's 216 feet high was made out of one pearl. Imagine the oyster that that thing came out of. There are 12 gates that has a solid pearl gate that is 216 feet high. Now, folks, this building at the peak out here is about 32, 33 feet. Okay? That's 7 times as high as this building. Imagine one pearl, 7 times the height of this building. That's one gate, and there's 12 of those. And it's made out of one pearl each. It didn't say that it was covered in pearl. It said it's made out of one pearl. That's ridiculously huge. You say, well, it's only got a 12-foot gate. How do you know? Why would you put a gate that's low? That's not protection. Gate goes all the way to the top. Now, I want you to notice something else. It says it has a street that is a pure gold like transparent glass. How can it be gold and transparent glass at the same time? Very easy. Have you ever seen the astronauts in their helmets and they have that gold shield on there? They're able to see through that, but they actually have pure gold plating on the outside of that shield because it's the only thing that will reflect and refract the light from the sun because it's so bright because there's no atmosphere in space. Regular UV won't cut it, so they had to have something like gold that could reflect the UV rays and yet be clear enough to see through. Guess what? If man can figure it out, guess what God did with the streets in heaven? God turned gold into pavement in heaven that it looks like gold-colored glass. It's so pure. Heaven is a real place, all right? Number five, I must hurry. There are real bodies there, real physical bodies there. Did you know that Jesus is there? He's there in his resurrection body. Did you know that the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration in the book of Matthew, they went and they saw Moses and Elijah with Jesus standing there talking, and they had real bodies. Then he saw them go to heaven, and Jesus came back and the others stayed there. Did you know that there are two men in the Old Testament that never died? God took them to heaven without dying. A man named Enoch and another man named Elijah. By the way, when Elijah was taken to heaven, 50 men looked for his body for 30 days and they could not find it. You say, why? Because it's in heaven. Now, wait a minute. They will come back and they will die, but they're there in their human body like you and I have right now and have been there for thousands of years. Just so you know. Now, they'll come back according to Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 through 13. These are the two witnesses that come back after the tribulation begins, and they'll come back to Jerusalem and preach as Baptist preachers, amen? And they're going to see people getting saved, and revival's going to cut loose, and the Antichrist is going to kill them, and they're going to lay in the streets for 3 days and three nights. Say, and the Bible says that all the world is going to look at their bodies beginning to decay in the streets for 3 days and three nights. You say, how do they do that? Television, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. It's all going to be there. But the Bible says after 3 days and three nights, Elisha's going to lean over to Enoch and say, let's get up here, fellas. And they get up and they are taken up to heaven. And the whole world watches them get up off the ground and go back to heaven in an individual rapture. Amen. Then, literally, all of hell cuts loose on earth for the next 3.5 years. It's not going to be good on earth during that time. Now, wait a minute. Their bodies are there now. They have been there, all right? Luke chapter 16, verse 23. Abraham was seen by Lazarus. The rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, which was a part of heaven. By the way, I said this morning, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, the graves were opened and those Old Testament saints walked into the city and they saw their bodies. That was one of the proofs of the resurrection, that it wasn't just Jesus. Okay? So there are real bodies there in heaven. That proves that it's a real place. All right? Number six. Boy, do I have to hurry. It has houses and mansions. Look at John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. For if not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hello. You don't put a mansion in the sky. It's got to be anchored somewhere. I've heard all those old Southern gospel songs. Just give me a log cabin on the other side of the river in heaven someday. I hate to tell you, you can have your log cabin. God's making me a mansion. Amen. Say why? Because that's what he said he was doing. Now, he knows what we like. By the way, God has a house there. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If the mansions are in his house, can you imagine how big God's house is? It's the whole thing. Amen. Now, wait a minute. God's making mansions for us in heaven. And you don't have mansions that sit on clouds. I hate to disappoint you. When you go to heaven, you don't become an angel. You don't get wings and a white robe and flutter around and just sprinkling spoofoo dust. All right? It's a real place. Did you know that after 7 years, we come back and rule and reign on this earth and we will have been in heaven for 7 years? We're going to have real bodies living on this earth, breathing the same air we breathe now. Everybody doing okay? Number seven, I got to hurry. It's a place that has horses. Amen, Hannah? Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And there's other verses here, and I'm going to pop somebody's bubble, but it's okay. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Those horses didn't come from earth if we're following him from heaven. We are going to be on horses that are in heaven. Now, this is where it might hurt. It's not the horses that died here that went to heaven. Horses have no spirit. These are heavenly horses. They're better. Say, what's the difference? They started there and there's no beginning, no end. They've always been there. Horses have no soul, they're not, or no spirit, they're not going to heaven. Your puppy dog didn't go to heaven, and we know all cats go to hell. All right? So, I'm just teasing. Cross my heart and hope Brother Mike dies. Animals have no spirit, okay? Their body and their soul, but they have no spirit. Do they have a soul? Yes, they do. My little beagle has plenty of soul. Let me tell you, she's as bad as they come. Rotten little dog. I'm telling you what, she got a nose that's bigger than a Hoover vacuum cleaner. She can smell something from a mile and a half away. Went out yesterday and took a walk out at the farm and took care of a couple groundhogs for the farmer and got home. That dog would not leave me alone till I changed my clothes. It could smell everything that I had, and, you know, it was like, okay, new smells. Here we go. And I could not, no matter how many times I pushed her away, it was just right back like a magnet. She was smelling everything. You say, what was she smelling? I have no idea, but she would not leave me alone. I literally went and changed my clothes. You say, why? Because it was the only thing to get her to stop. And she just, she's got an attitude every once in a while. I call her a chick with an attitude. Let me tell you. She has a temperament of her own, and she has a soul, but she's not going to die and go to heaven or die and go to hell. She has no spirit. When it dies, it goes to the grave like all other animals. These horses have been in heaven. God created them there. And they'll stay there, and yet they'll be there for us to ride. By the way, for them to be able to go from heaven to earth, they have to do something that horses down here can't do. Say, well, do they have wings? I can't tell you that. God doesn't tell us, but it doesn't talk about horses having wings, just so you know. I just know that they are able to go from heaven to earth, and we're riding them while they do that. You can call it a controlled fall. You can call it whatever you want, but I know I'm going to get here, and it's going to be all right. Amen? We're going to sing that song that we sang earlier while we do this as we come back. Amen? Anyway, then... let me try to finish with this. It's a place that has jewels. It has precious jewels there. Revelation chapter 21, I'll read a few verses. It says, and the building of the wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. First foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. Wow. You talk about a beautiful place. Can you imagine foundations being built out of these jewels? Ladies, the little diamond on your ring is going to be nothing compared to heaven. The foundation stone for walls that are 216 feet tall are made out of these things. That's some serious rock, amen? Too big for you to put on your finger. It is a real place. These are all real stones. By the way, stones don't float on clouds. Praise the Lord. Heaven has doors. Heaven has a river. Heaven has a rainbow around the throne of God. Heaven has a throne. Heaven has fruit. Heaven has trees. Heaven has leaves. Heaven has a foundation. Heaven has a city. Heaven has seats. Heaven has clothing. Heaven has crowns. Heaven has lamps. And I could go on and on and on and on. Heaven is a real place. It's not just somewhere in the sky floating around on a cloud. It is a real place, just as real as earth is. Your friends and your loved ones that have died and gone to heaven are in a real place. Brother Stoltz, you sang that song a little while ago, and my mind was racing through people that I've known that have gone to heaven. I thought of that little cripple boy, and I thought of little Johnny Ryan. I thought of some of the older folks that I've watched gasping for air, and I've watched them take their last breaths. I thought, they're in heaven tonight. I thought of my grandparents that are there, and I thought of my wife's, some of her family that has gone on before us. I've thought of preacher friends of mine that have gone. Can I tell you something? Heaven's a real place. Heaven is just as real as it's ever been. By the way, it was real before earth was real. Everything originated there. You see, they're in a real place. And when we die, we're going to a real place called heaven. We're going to have real fellowship with people that we know there. We're going to get introduced to people we don't know there. Do you know you're going to get to see the people that were in the Bible? And unless God changes something, I'm going to punch at him right square in the nose for messing everything up. He's going to have to change my mind, amen? He really messed it up for all of us. Heaven has reeds. Heaven has books. Heaven has bottles. Heaven has fellowship with friends. It is a real place. When Gene called me that day, he said, Brother Bush, Miss Wilson's gone to heaven. She wanted me to let you know she's going to give Jesus a hug for you. You say, why? Usually one of the last things when I say to someone before they go to heaven is this. Do me a favor. Give Jesus a hug for me. Would you tell him I love him? And then would you ask him to bless the work here? A dear friend of mine, Mike Bajant, was dying of cancer. One of the last times Brother Mike and I were together that he could still talk, and he knew the day was coming where he wouldn't. I looked at Brother Mike and I said, Brother Mike, you're one of the best friends I have on the face of this earth. And you're getting ready to go see Jesus. He said, I know, Brother Bush. He said, but it's okay. I said, I know it is. He said, what you want? I said, I want you to do something for me. He said, what's that? Barely talk. You could hear the cancer in his throat rattling while he would try to talk. And I mean, you could literally hear the cancer tumors in his voice just rattling. And I said, Brother Mike, would you take those big old hands of yours and would you throw them around Jesus' neck for me and give him a hug? I said, because looks like you're going to get there before I do. I said, would you tell him I love him? He said, I will, after I do it for me first. He had no Brother Mike to understand that, but I laughed with him. I said, would you tell him to keep blessing the work that I do here? I said, I'll promise you, Brother Mike, I'll keep on reaching people, even though you're going to be in heaven. I'll do my best to pick up the torch for you. About 48 hours later, he took his last breath here. I got word. I got alone in my office, and I looked up. And I realized Jesus had already gotten a hug from me. I was walking through the auditorium of the church early the next day or so, I was complaining a little. Sorry, but I did. I said, God's not fair. I'm getting ready for a big meeting and this, that, and the other thing. And all of a sudden I realized, I could hear Brother Mike laughing. He's like, yeah, I'm in heaven. You got to work down there. Ha, 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 ha. I started laughing. I said, you bum. Now, he didn't come back in spirit. Ooh, all right, it was none of that stuff. But I could sense the presence of God. You say, do you talk to people? I talk to them. That doesn't mean that they hear me, but I sometimes talk to them. I believe Brother Hiles is there. I know he's there. Now, I don't talk to the dead, just so you know. And these people, you know, ghost whisperers. They make shows about this kind of mess. Bring back dead people. That's Satanism. You say, well, I saw them. No, you didn't. Hate to disappoint you. They don't come back here. They wouldn't want to come back here. They're not going to leave heaven to come back here to tell you anything because they're having the time of their life in heaven. Heaven is a real place. It's just as real as earth is. I want to assure you something. Heaven's a real place. We're all going to go there someday if we're saved. If you're not, you need to get saved so you can and not go to another real place called hell. And it's just as real. It's not as nice. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heaven's a real place. Oh, we know a lot of people there. I'm nearing 50 years old and I'm starting to know more people there than I know here. Starting to know of more and more people that I know that are going there. But I hope you understand heaven is a real place. Nothing to be afraid of. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I'm sure I'm going to heaven. When I die, would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I won't embarrass you. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon is a truth I needed. I needed it for me personally tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens of hands.